Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Aldermen Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple, and welcome to this week's Aldermen Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, topical talks, flooding, and the Island Games. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that's been hitting the headlines in our print titles, and of course online at imtoday.co.im, I'm joined by News Hounds, Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Santon.
Yeah.
Distribution's very own Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
Well, we're back after 3 weeks to build up the anticipation. We've decided to podcast once again, Sam.
It's great to be back.
Good week, Katie?
Yeah, good, busy week. It's gone very quickly because it's so busy.
Now, we've got a new voice for you this week. Paul, welcome along. Paul,
thank you.
You're interning with us for 6 weeks, so Sam quite...
Does make it sound like we've got him prisoner.
Well, yeah, it does. Yeah, you do go home at night, don't you? We don't sort of train you to the radiator, a la Boy George. what I was going to say to you, you're in for 6 weeks. Sam thought it would be good to introduce you to the podcast. I'm very excited to have you along this week. Are you excited to be here?
Yeah, I'm halfway through my sentence and Sam's decided to subject me to this, so it's good to be here.
And he won't get time off for good behaviour, will he?
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Good for his afternoons off.
Well, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, but apparently that's statutory. I did check.
Well,
and he worked last Friday afternoon, actually.
Well, that's good.
Right, let's crack on then, Sam. Our first news story is about topical talks, which were in the business news in the Examiner this week. And it's I think we do it sort of, is it quarterly?
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to think how often the sandwiches turn up. Because they get leftover sandwiches, you see, Kate, and they bring them out.
The sandwiches aren't leftover when they're giving to the people in the topical talks. They're leftover when they come to us.
Second tier sandwich receivers.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to put it, Katie. But these topical talks are basically, we get loads of different people in around the boardroom table and we chat about various subjects. And now, obviously, this year's programme has been somewhat disrupted by the C word, COVID-19. But this was sort of on the agenda this week, COVID, wasn't it, with the people that were involved?
Yeah, we had, just running through the list here, we had Treasury Minister Alf Canham was there. You've got the Chief Executive of Utmost was there, Lars Uglund?
Yep.
I'm going to say it. Lars Uglund, who's Chairman of the Steam Packet. So you had like, and you had the, was Chairman of Max Telecom there as well. Chief Executive, sorry, Max Telecom there as well. So you've got...
Gary Lamb.
So you've got people who've sort of like shown their value to the island through COVID, sort of, you know, Steam Packet was lifeline up, but... What they're interested in is where we're going forward. So Alpha Cannon was talking about how the island is going to move forward from this. And he's saying it could be the border restrictions, obviously the big issue at the minute, which they're going to be in place, he says, for months. Which is not surprising when you consider it. Even this morning, Liverpool's gone into further lockdown, which obviously is not our nearest neighbours, but our most sort of regular link.
Yeah.
It's all a bit sort of up in the air, isn't it? So anyway, Duncan's done this bit, which I'm going to be a lot more exact about now, which is... He's spoken to various people about where the island goes next. So you've got the border restrictions, you've got... Alf Khan actually did a big piece on the challenges of running through lockdown. It's got a lovely picture of our editor in here as well, actually. So. And then you've got, interestingly, this is the one.
Is that interesting paper. Because it's the picture with the Buffy?
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of pictures. But no, what I actually found interesting was about the island's reputation being boosted.
Mm-hmm.
So what they're saying is that because the island's businesses have been able to reopen, more success than the UK has, for instance, you know, our pubs have opened and not had to close again, that it's actually boosted the island's reputation, both in terms of the local business but also internationally, about how the government and the health system and everyone dealt with this and now how it's boosting business, which could have greater long-term sort of bonuses for the island, which is interesting also because, of course, we've got the looming B word coming back around very soon.
Oh, Brexit. Everyone had conveniently forgotten about that, hadn't they?
Yeah, so, you know, Brexit's... I mean, they're in the last round of talks now before they might have this deal sorted. And this is, you know, so we're looking at saying that boosting our reputation is not exactly a bad thing right now. So.
No.
It's an interesting thing. It's 4 pages.
There's tons of reading.
Four pages. I think there was actually more, really, when you think about it, because there's 4 pages. I think it also spread onto the front of the paper.
Yeah.
So there's loads to get your teeth into, actually, from a business perspective.
So that was nestled lovingly inside the Examiner this week, Katie. But if you couldn't get to the shops and you think, oh, I might miss the opportunity to get the Examiner this week, you can get it online, of course, can't you?
Exactly. You can go to iomtoday.co.im and click on the little red menu at the top where it says Digital Editions. If you click on that, you'll be able to access either one edition or subscribe to 52 weeks.
Have we got any subs offers on at the moment?
There's always subs offers on digital editions.
Yeah. Because it costs less digitally than they do if you bought it in paper, doesn't
yes,
it?
Yes, yeah. So if you go and buy the paper copy mm-hmm. without a subscription, you're paying £1.10.
Mm-hmm.
Online, you're getting it for £1. You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's next news story, Paul, it's time for you to shine, is about Laxey, and you've been very busy on this. I know you did some work with Adrian as well. It's 1 year since the flood, so before we get into it, Sam, 1 year ago, your Doc Martens were very wet, weren't they?
They were, yeah.
You were sent down to be our man on the scene in Laxey. What can you remember about that day, apart from being very wet?
It was very wet. I remember the BBC sending over, from Northwest Tonight, you should come over. And it's brilliant because they had to do this thing of going, many hours ago,
Floodwaters
were up to here, because of course it all drained away very quickly. But the scenes were horrendous. I mean, there's a lot of damage done to people. I think my lasting memory of the day was the Coast Guard chasing goldfish around a garden.
Sorry, Coast Guard were chasing goldfish?
Yeah, there was a pond which had flooded.
Yeah.
And they were trying to get them out so they could pump all the water out,
yeah.
But they didn't want to kill the goldfish.
So did they get them?
I think so, yeah. They were going around like a net, and sort of it was one of these scenes, it's so surreal but quite funny.
Did they have a tank?
Yeah.
Wow.
They had a tank, but they were trying to get the goldfish.
Was one of the goldfish renamed Lucky after that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there was much luck at that day, really.
I don't remember you mentioning that in your extensive reporting at the time.
I don't remember this.
Do you know what? I think it was sort of one of them that happened towards the end of the day, by which point I was pretty soaked through, and my notepad was wrecked. And by that point, I'd taken to having to record things on my phone. I was wearing a woolly jumper, I was cold, and I was upset, and I just wanted to go.
I remember you coming in like a...
You'd just been washed in from sea.
Yeah, and it was, but also a toddler that had just been washed in from sea. I don't like this. I'm all wet. I'm hungry.
I hadn't eaten all day.
But the best I remember you telling me, you and Dave Neal, obviously our photographer, had gone along to Laxey to get the pictures and reports, and you went along to the Working Institute that day? To,
church.
Yeah, and they thought you were some sort of refugees from Glen Road, didn't they? Rather than.
Well, we'd gone up there to see people from Glen Road, and turned out there wasn't be there, and they thought we were in dire need of support.
So they put a blanket around you and give
me
a cup of tea.
They tried to give me a blanket. We did accept the cup of tea and ate half the biscuits. But yeah.
Fantastic. Right, well, we bring the story up to date. Paul, you've done a sort of year-on piece, haven't you? You spoke to a lot of the residents been affected. I think you spoke to a couple of the politicians as well, mm-hmm. Martin Perkins, etc., etc. So how have people recovered from that flooding?
Yeah, even though it's a year on, like I said, some people have only just gotten back into their homes. A couple on Glen Road have only just moved back in. Some of them still have their furniture in storage, and obviously the damage was catastrophic in a lot of people's houses on Glen Road, so a lot of lasting damage there. And another ongoing issue is a lot of people are still struggling to get affordable home insurance. Like, they've seen their premiums go up by 1,000, and the latest headline really was the announcement of these new Manx Utilities plans,
yes,
which are supposed to properly secure up the flood defences, particularly that wall on Glen Road, which caused most of the problems when the digger burst through it.
Yeah, the infamous wall. You mentioned the plans; they were on show in Laxey earlier this week.
Correct,
as you say, there's 50 different options, isn't it, at the moment on the table?
50 potential they've identified. Yes. Yeah.
So they were looking for feedback from the residents mm-hmm. and people within Laxey, and that was going to hopefully narrow down to what they go towards, is that correct?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of money going to be spent on this, I'm guessing, as well, isn't there?
Yeah, 10 million over 2 years of work is what they're saying.
Wow. But you've also, since you've done this article, which again was in the Examiner this week, I do recommend you pick up a copy. You've had lots of people coming in with further stories, haven't you?
Yes. As I said, just the ongoing impact, people talking about the fact they've only just moved back in, the cost of insurance, and how they're feeling about these plans, basically. I think some people still aren't too reassured. It's all based on this ARUP report, which the government commissioned a year ago, and a lot of people are saying they need a bit more local knowledge and input, because it's all well and good to pay these consultants from the UK a load of money to draw up their report, but if they don't know Laxey, they might not have the best knowledge to prepare against floods, no.
Interestingly, another great feature you've done this last week is you went and spoke to the people at the Met Office about what the work they do.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the flooding, didn't you? And,
yeah.
And actually the flash floods we had in the summer, August. And you, the Adrian Cowan you spoke to and a couple of the other forecasters there had said they were just pure freak incidents, weren't they? They hadn't even really seen them coming, had they?
Yeah, exactly. They're very good down there. Like, they can very well predict the fog that's going to come in on the airport, and that freak snowstorm in 2013, they saw that coming a long way off. But you said the kind of thing that happened in Laxey, which was just... last August, they had some flash floods, which was caused by a freak thunderstorm that just appeared. And what happened last October, it was some parts of the island just got 20 millimetres of rain, which was no problem. Yeah. Just up the mountain road, they only got 40, but Laxey got over 100.
Wow.
And it was just, he said, they're the hardest kind of things to predict, these kind of rapid, localised downpours, he called it.
Yeah, but freak conditions, as you would probably call it. But yeah, so that's the Laxey feature is in the Examiner, which Katie said you can get online, but it also should be in the shops. And the amazing feature you did on the Met Office was in today's Manx Independent, which is in shops now and, of course, available online.
Exactly.
Digitally.
So you're thinking, you're listening to this on Saturday, you want to read it, but it's probably going to be chucking it down outside.
You're a bit hungover. You've been in Jack's with Sam, you know, late doors.
Complaining about the crowds.
Complaining about the kids and knocking into you while you're having your pint. And you can't be bothered leaving the house.
Everyone's in shorts.
Yeah. You go.
I don't understand that. Who wears shorts to go on a night out? Grow up. Put some trousers on.
If any of these things are affecting you and you can't be bothered leaving the house, you can get, rest assured, you can get your paper as a digital copy online at iomtoday.co.im.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week's sports story involves the Island Games, an announcement that was made last weekend. The Guernsey Games were meant to take place next July in the... Is it the Balawick? That's what they call it, isn't it, Sam? The Balawick of Guernsey? Yeah, you're nodding your head. But unfortunately, the decision has been made by the Island Games Association to postpone next year's Island Games because of the uncertainty caused by COVID pandemic. Now, of course, people will be saying, well, there's no COVID in Guernsey, there's no COVID in the Isle of Man at the moment, although I think we have one active case, which is self-isolating at the moment, if yesterday's figures were correct. But you've got to remember the Island Games draws people from across the globe. We've got the Falklands, we've got Rhodes, we've got Menorca, we've got Gibraltar, and all these different countries are at different states.
Yeah.
Obviously, borders, ours are still half open, I'm going to say. They're not technically shut, but they're not technically open. And the same with Guernsey. There's lots of things to consider. And I think they've just made this early decision to postpone it. And they've not said it's going to be cancelled. They're hoping to slot it in maybe the year after. Another announcement was made. Orkney, who had already been chosen as the 2023 hosts, so that they'll be put back a year or whatever, however long the Guernsey Games is delayed. And then the other announcement was Anglesey or Innismon, which we can often see in a clear day, can't we, from the mountain?
Yeah.
They will be hosting the next games after that. So it was scheduled for 2025. It's probably going to be 2026 or 2027. So, yeah, that was all exciting. All that news was in the Isle of Man Examiner this week on the back page. And, of course, I think you can actually see it online at iomtoday.co.im.
Has it damaged your holiday plans a little bit? Like, you meant to be going?
No, I did Jib last time. So I think it should have been Disco Dave Norton that week. Doing that one, but I've got to quite like Guernsey. A lot of people have been saying a lot of nice things about Guernsey.
Was Gib the one where H from Steps was there or something?
No, it was S Club.
Jib was the one where Sex Star WhatsApp group. Well, it's a couple of videos. I think they're greatest hits. Yeah, Bradley. There was Joe, Tina. I think that was it. Three
of the original.
Yeah,
seven.
The two of the lads weren't there. Was it John?
John and Paul.
Paul weren't there.
Well, Paul's obviously made a fortune selling his awards. That's what he did, wasn't it?
Well, there was also the bizarre scenario that Rangers played one of the local football teams in the Europa League that day. So in the morning, I came out of my flat to go and cover the Island Games and was walking down the main street. There's only essentially one street in Gibraltar. It's very small. And going to the big square. And there's all these Rangers fans and Bradley from S Club, which was a scenario I never really thought I'd see at 9:30 in the morning in the middle of Gibraltar, but there you go. But I digress, yes, so that's the Island Games, postponed, not forgotten.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week in history, Sam, we delve back to the 1930s in the Isle of Man Examiner of the Friday, October 5th, 1934. It's a humdinger. There's lots of good stories on and some cracking adverts for Katie to get her teeth into. So what caught your eye with this particular edition, Samuel?
It's one of them where there's loads on it. I mean, this K-Don's first week in prison is quite a bizarre read.
Okay, tell us more.
So I don't know what he was jailed for, but it's his ninth day in prison. His London solicitors, it's easy to say, have confirmed he's not going to appeal to the Privy Council. But then it's this whole thing about how his wife's been over to see him. He's allowed one visitor a week. He's doing okay. He's still having his regulation breakfast, dinner and tea sent to the prison daily from the Falconcliffe Hotel. And he's reported to be eating well, but is suffering from sleeplessness despite his nightcap, which consists of half a pint bottle of gout. Half a night bottle of stout. It just seems very weird, this thing. He seems to have a very relaxed prison.
So is he imprisoned here or imprisoned in the UK? Because I thought it was a Manxman that was imprisoned across. And then you mentioned his breakfast coming from the... where was it? The
Falconcliffe. No, I think it was here, because it says about Mrs. Don, who left the island on Saturday, returned on the Kingari yesterday, and today she visited her husband in prison.
We don't know what this mystery fugitive has done.
No, maybe we can find out.
Okay, Don's quite an unusual name as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's quite an unusual name. I suppose the other big thing that caught me eye was the election.
Of course, we've got a general election coming up.
Which was the... So this is when the Lieutenant Governor would officially sort of dissolve, as it were. But he was on holiday at the time, so they were going to get round to it when he come back.
Okay. No, don't worry about it. Well, you just continue having your
yeah,
break.
So I don't know if they still had the thing of they had to be every 5 years then, but it's, I just do like this thing of going, yeah, he'll be back in a couple of weeks. He's just on a bit of a trip. And then he'll sign the paperwork and we'll be good and we'll have it in November.
The main picture that week is about the Douglas High School's gala, swimming gala, right? Now the pictures, everyone in them looks absolutely terrified. Have you seen like the guy on the right? He's not even looking at the camera. And now, I don't know what the photographer
was doing.
There's
one girl on the top row who, I'm trying to read through it quickly to see what her name is. It doesn't say above. Who's this girl squadron? So it's maybe Betty Place, I think it is, who's smiling, and everybody else is reacting like they've never seen a camera before.
Now, to me as well, I think this is always you see with older pictures. They look older than school children.
Yeah, they look like 30-year-olds.
Yeah, but they're actually obviously under 16.
There's one man, boy, in this photo. He looks like he's in his mid-40s at least.
Is this the one in the suit and tie? Yeah.
No, this is the one on the bottom row with his arms crossed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, wow.
We might have to, well, maybe tweet this picture. We can maybe recreate this picture for our artwork this week. Maybe not on our swimming costumes, but just the uncomfortable and serious nature of it. And do it.
On the top row, they're all, like, holding hands as if, like, for support for something.
It's like they're about to be shot.
The weird thing is, this kind of looks like our... You remember when we were doing those... I don't know why we did them, the promotional photos.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you're holding a keyboard that's not plugged in. And I've got pretending to type.
Yeah.
That's what this reminds me of.
Yeah. Didn't we say we look like the Ting Tings or something at that point?
Like a really, like, old version of them.
So there's... moving on, there's loads of different stories on the front page. But did you see the contents? I always looking at the contents. So we call them promos now. It's sort of basically what's saying is inside the paper. But Paul, if you want to run through this, there's some absolute belters. So we can find out more about K Don in prison, can't we? That's on page 12. He's only deemed page 12, so can't it be that big an offence? Can't it be a murder? What else was in the Examiner that week?
We've also got the London Manx Society.
Yep.
And the Youth Without Work, which I presume means the unemployed.
Yeah.
The Blackpool Festival entries. Maybe they're still doing the illuminations back then.
Yeah.
Agriculture, cinemas, district news, pictures, by their deeds, news of the churches, leaders, and promenade parking.
I also love the fact they've got a nostalgia section 25 years ago. Like, that was...
So it's like 1909.
Yeah, yeah, but that was...
So that's what, the Titanic has just started to be cast by then.
we've just glossed over, but also on page 9, there's a story about promenade parking. It's lovely to know that
Some things never change.
We need to do a bit of research on K Don, don't we? Sounds like the Don.
character from Peaky Blinders. Yeah. Like.
Any other stories, Sam, that caught your eye before we move on to the advert?
I do like the thing, just as a headline, just no speed limit but enforce the law. So there's been one, I like this, there's been one fatal road accident in Castletown in 30 years. But that driving is more of a danger. So driving to the danger of the public is more effective if there is a speed limit. So saying we need a speed limit because there's been one death 30 years ago. But otherwise, we're all fine. But so it's a bit weird. Other people saying they don't need a speed limit. And it's a bit of a bizarre sort of story, really, because it doesn't really... Because it turns to the next page... It doesn't say it goes on the next column. I hate these layouts, they're very bizarre.
Yeah.
Because they go down a column and then shift to the right.
It's not what you call intuitive to what we know now, is it?
No. So basically they're arguing about this idea about having speed limits in Castletown.
Yeah.
And it's just such a bizarre thing because there's an argument for and against, which you don't get now. It's all about how we have to be 20s plenty and watch out for cyclists and don't hit them with your car if you can help it.
Yeah.
And here's this thing about, yeah, they're actually having a debate about speed limits. I mentioned.
My subhead of the week, which I think is a new feature I'm going to introduce, is cleavage of opinion, which sort of is not what you expect. It's about pensions as well. Retired workers will get £1 a week. Wow. That could be what we're at if the pension scheme does go bang. We could be getting back to getting £1 a week.
What I don't understand is why, just at the top right, it just randomly says workless youth.
It's the hot topic, because as Paul's already pointed out,
we've got youth without work
is on page 3. The adverts, Paul, have you spotted something else?
Oh, I was just going to say, the interesting thing about that driving, Sam, is it says, since the inception of motor traffic over 30 years ago. So that's since they had cars. 30 years later, they thought, maybe we should have some sort of limit on this.
1904. Wow.
And I guess what kind of speeds could you even get up to in 1935? I mean,
they would go pretty quick.
I know they were racing around in the Great Gatsby, but I don't know, 50?
I don't know. You could probably still do a bit of damage, couldn't you?
And you're going to hear the car coming. It's not like it's a silent electric car.
Like a Tesla.
Mm. Something unnerving about them.
Yeah.
Like, I think the worst thing you could ever get would be like an electric hearse. Because it'd just be like terrifying, just like one of them turning up and they getting out deathly silent.
So, okay, I've just seen what you're talking about. The workless youth is just randomly positioned above the masthead.
Yeah.
And there's no context as to what else it's about.
No.
But there is some cracking adverts, isn't there? I know there's no Sefton, so you'll be a little bit disappointed.
Yeah, but there's one I've never seen before for youthful vitality. It can be yours.
What is it? Is it some sort of... Oh, it's like pills and tonics.
Yeah, I've actually Googled it. It's called phosphorine. I Googled the wrong thing to begin with, which is to do with mining and gas. But this is something which you can either take as a tablet or drink like a tonic. And it basically cures everything.
Oh, yeah. Influenza, gastric pains, sleeplessness.
What the hell is brain fag?
I've often said you've got a spot of brain fag. Indigestion, debility, exhaustion, nerve shock, sciatica, headache, maternity weakness.
Everything.
We should get you some of this, Sam. This is getting you going.
Sounds right, doesn't it? It would help with my maternity.
And it's a wine? Phosphorus tonic wine? Mm. Isn't Buckfast a tonic wine?
Well, I did Google phosphorine, and Buckfast was coming up in like the Google search results.
Who knew all those Scottish people are onto something? This is why they're all so happy.
The thing is, it's actually made by monks in Devon, as Buckfast.
And our previous producer's father.
He makes Buckfast, does he?
He visits the monks.
Oh, he does? Yeah. Is it you can ring his bells? He rings bells, doesn't he?
He does, yeah.
He's a campologist.
Campologist,
yeah, yeah.
Was a campanologist.
I like there's a tremendous advert for W. Dodman boot manufacturer, and it's basically just a copy of a letter that has been written into them saying how good their boots are.
This is Two Shimmins. This is Two Shimmin & Co., which was the garage. So he's written, they've copied his telegram.
This is bizarre.
That he sent to them saying, by the way, cheers, lads. I'll give if anyone comes to the island with their car, I'll
tell them. So Dodman are a boot manufacturer,
yeah,
and they've written to say, go and use Shimmons for your car.
Yeah, and then they just put it in the paper.
Without really much explanation.
Which I quite like.
Yeah, and then there was also an advert in the top right for Higgins of Douglas and Ramsey, the fishmonger, new season salt cod and saltling.
What's saltling?
I don't know. Don't know. I don't think I fancy trying it though.
No.
And then there was another competitor of a fishmonger on the far side for F Shipshides.
You gotta be careful saying that.
I know you have. Fishmonger and poulterer who does birds as well. To people residing in the south, we are right at your door with fresh fish daily.
Whether you want them there or not.
No, that sounds quite sinister, doesn't it?
We are right at your door. You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
So after This Week in History, we delve into Yesser training, of course, Katie. And this week, we're looking at the old Braddon Church graveyard, aren't we?
Yeah, it's pretty niche subject. Not even the graveyard, more the epitaphs on some of the gravestones.
Keep it light, Katie. First week back. Let's get Mel back in.
The thing is, me and Sam are kind of into these sorts of things. But
do you go etching them?
No, what we're trying to say is we're becoming goths.
Oh.
I know, Mrs.
You've
Kitchener.
Missed that. You've missed well, that. That was like quite big in the sort of mid-90s. Early
yeah, every school trip, etch a gravestone.
Well, I've sort of more about goths.
Oh, right. Did you not do that at school trips?
Yeah, we used to do it for Celtic crosses. Didn't
yeah, you? Yeah. Well, that's why Kirk Braddon is a good one, because it has like a very large collection of Celtic crosses.
Do you still
which
get...
I haven't gone into in this at all. But
is that's... tracing paper still a thing?
Yeah.
You use greaseproof paper because it's cheaper.
Oh, right.
How would you possibly know that?
Because a mate was telling me about like how her kid's proper into like tracing things. And she said, buy tracing paper from the early linen centre, it's dead expensive. Whereas if she goes to Tesco and gets greaseproof paper, it's a bit more expensive to begin with. It looks a bit more expensive, but you actually get a lot more of it. And it's just like a big roll, so we can cut out as much as he wants.
This is why people listen to this podcast. But stuff like this, stuff the news. Who gives a monkey's about when the borders are going to open? Tracing paper, get rid of it, get the baking paper in. And then you can also make something after, or would it still be all right after you traced with it?
That'd be interesting. I wonder if you could sort of trace like, you know, like Homer Simpson or something. Yeah. And then if you cooked on it.
Would very specific trace.
Would your... All right, then. A Manx cat. Would you trace some paper?
Cat would
if you cooked on it.
Still enough to trace
if you cooked on it. Shut up. If you cooked on it, would that then onto the cake? Do you get what I mean?
I think you just get lead poisoning or whatever, graphite or whatever's in the pencil these days.
Right. We need to find out.
Well, it is the Macmillan cake day tomorrow, so maybe you can
it's
go...
Not. Well, it was last week. We're just doing it this week.
Oh, is it just us?
No, yeah. SNP are doing it as well. That's what Beck works. Yeah. I said I thought it was just us because we hung over last Friday, but no, apparently. Yeah.
We hung over. Oh, we were, weren't we?
Yeah.
I was off.
But yes, we digress as always. So yes, tracing. No, we're not doing about tracing. We're doing about graveyards, aren't we?
Yes. So Old Kirk Braddon Graveyard is basically, I'm going to put it top five graveyards of all time for me.
All time?
All time. Top five.
Not just top five in the Isle of Man?
No, it's in my top five graveyards. My wow. personal top five, not
what
like a national.
For?
Don't, let's not go down that rabbit hole.
I'll tease you. One was the non-Catholic graveyard in Rome. Where ooh. Keats is, not Keats, yes, Keats. Keats is buried there.
Dean Keats, former Walsall player.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Non-Catholic.
Scored, died in scored in the FA Cup 2006.
He was manager a while, I think. Always a really good defensive midfielder and football manager. Right, sorry, yep.
Okay, so one quick fact before we get into the who is who of the churchyard. Yeah. Old Braddon was full by 1848. Two reasons for that. One was 83 bodies came from one summer. The summer of 1832.
The
when
summer of death, as we know.
Cholera.
The cholera epidemic was rife in Douglas. And there are two small stones to mark this that say cholera 1832.
We couldn't be bothered doing 83.
And then smallpox in 1836 to 37. So the churchyard was formally closed for burials in 1921, which kind of makes me think, if it's full by 1848, who's being buried?
People, maybe it
was
family
there never
members,
a ceremony
yeah,
or
lob them in on top.
Oh, like mass, like, yeah. mass graves. No, plots, family
the,
plots.
Oh, Drinkwater family have got plots in there, and you can there's ones in there that have got very recent dates on them compared to old ones.
Ah, okay.
They used to own very significant parts of the island. You see, big family. I listened to Terry Kringle's podcast about it. It was interesting.
Terry Kringle has a podcast?
Sort of. It's the History Man, which they broadcast on podcasts.
Oh, okay. Okay, so one stone near the door of the church belongs to Reverend Patrick Thompson, who died in 1689. And this is a notable gravestone there, because it was prepared by him 11 years before he died.
Ooh! I've heard of people doing that, and I thought, you're a bit weird, but now you think, oh, you can have exactly what you wanted on
it. Yeah, and yeah. Like in those days, it's going to take a while for you to get like a good slab of stone.
Yeah,
and
fair point, yeah.
You can't make mistakes on that, can you?
Yeah, good for, yeah, if you did, you'd have to start again. Yeah.
Yeah, so then there are the gravestones of Patrick McCary and his wife Jane, and he lived to be 102 years old, and she lived until she was 100. Which is incredible for that. It's incredible for now, but especially given that Patrick died in 1851.
Mm. That is pretty good going, yeah. Do we think it's true?
Well, you can't lie on your grave, can you? Can you lie about your age at death?
Well, I mean, really, parish records weren't the best then. So there's no...
You might have been 12.
You could have. You could have lied.
Just a
slip
just
by your age, you know. What if you'd moved from, like, Foxdale and went, oh, I'm 100?
Yeah. Maybe like, oh, okay. Bloody hell, you look good.
Yeah.
And maybe he's on the phosphorine.
Like we done in the past and previous podcasts, we were talking about the Manx giant, Reg, what's Cayley, was it? Reg
Cayley? Arthur Cayley.
Arthur Cayley. he would have suited Reg, actually.
Who had faked his own death in Paris. Yeah.
So I think, you know, I'm not, you know, maybe he was 102, but 1851. He survived the summer of death.
This is true. Samuel Alley, you might know that name, it's one of the bigger names at the graveyard, is Alley came here to the Isle of Man as the servant of Governor Wilkes. And so Wilkes was the governor in St. Helena, am I saying that right? Which was the island where Napoleon was exiled to. And when Wilkes was no longer in charge there, he came to the Isle of Man. Samuel Alley was born a slave and then was emancipated during his time in the West Indies and became a servant of Wilkes. Samuel Alley died a few years after arriving on the Isle of Man, age 18.
Aww.
So, really didn't like the Isle of Man.
No.
Don't know what year this was. 1822. It's not the summer of death.
No, before the summer of death.
But he was on St. Helena at the same time as Napoleon, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and everyone kept trying to poison him there. He might have just been unlucky, walked through the same room. Because then they put arsenic on his wallpaper.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he was somewhere else before he went, before he went to St. Helena.
Yeah, and so it says on his epitaph is, Samuel Alley, an African and native of St. Helena, died 28th of May, 1822, aged 18 years, born a slave and exposed in early life to the corrupt influence of that unhappy state. He became a model of truth and probity?
Yeah.
For the more fortunate of any country or condition, this stone is erected by a grateful master to the memory of a faithful servant who repaid the boon of liberty with unbounded attachment.
Sounds a bit of a hero, doesn't he? Bit of a ledge. Yeah.
I don't think it's that clear to read
right.
anymore. So maybe you would have serious, to do some serious tracing.
Yeah.
Maybe you would need proper tracing paper for that one. And then also the brother-in-law of William Wordsworth is buried there, Captain Henry Hutchinson. And Wordsworth wrote the epitaph that's on the stone.
I wonder if Hutchinson Square is named after him.
Captain Henry Hutchinson, maybe.
It's not a very sort of prominent name, is it? You know, not one you hear of.
But
often,
isn't there a train called Hutchinson?
There is.
There you go. Hutchinson's a plenty. Very interesting as always, Katie. Thank you very much. I'm looking forward to you saying you're going to do a bit of a hop to name specials over the next couple of weeks.
Yes, given that we've entered October officially today. So it's like a countdown.
Not Halloween.
No, hop to name.
Yeah. All about the moots. That should be a hashtag, shouldn't it?
It should.
Yeah.
All about the moots, no pumpkins. Right, that's about it for this week's podcast. Much coming up next week, Sam. I noticed at the meeting you've got lots on your plate this morning.
Oh, there's loads to do, loads to see. The Castle Mona.
Hey.
It's back in front of the planning committee.
Hey.
We're all very excited here about that. And there's loads and loads of stuff.
The bowling alley.
There's ghosts there. Not the bowling alley, just Castle Mona in general. They might feature in the upcoming weeks.
That would be a lovely tie-in. We could then promote Sam's story on the planning application. Yeah.
Plus, when Grace is back, we can do us all up as Ghostbusters.
Yeah?
Well, there might be some trademark infringement. It might have to be like a NAF version of the Ghostbusters.
Or we could all be famous ghosts.
Well, I want to be Derek Acora. That would be
just
good.
In general.
Yeah.
Sounds just like in life, my yeah. mission.
He died, didn't he?
Did he?
Yeah, yeah, he's with his people now. Paul, what's coming up this week?
Today I've got a memorial for some World War II plane that crashed in Andrews.
Yes, I saw that. That's going to be very interesting. It's the 18th anniversary of the crash, and you're going to actually speak to two people that witnessed the crash, aren't you?
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, so that's up in Andrews, so that'll be in the Examiner, maybe even the Independent next week. Katie, what's coming up in the world of distribution?
We're getting ready for Christmas.
Pardon?
We're having
it's 1st of October.
But a lot of work goes into getting the papers out at Christmas.
Of course.
Given that we'll probably change dates, I imagine.
We are. We've been talking about this. We don't want to reveal that yet. That's the real Christmas present.
We've got a Christmas meeting, so that's what this week will entail. Oh, and also getting the courier out to people.
Okay, that's very exciting. Right, remember you can get in touch with us on social media. Well, of course, I think we're on Twitter and Instagram at IRM News Podcast. If you want to... We haven't had a postcard for ages, have we?
Because no one's travelling.
Grace is travelling. She's in London.
She's not going to listen to this.
You say that so disparagingly. Why would she? The tracing paper fact alone is just... It's worth its weight in gold, basically.
Basically, we're essentially like Martin Lewis.
Oh, that's a money-saving expert, yeah.
There we go, you see.
I mean, he's worth millions and...
You are a money-saving expert version of Martin Lewis. You know, like a cheaper, slightly like...
Ironically, saving money.
Yeah. Maybe this is a feature we could do every week. Sam has saved 23 pence this week.
Well, yeah, because he is known for his, like, thrifty shopping at charity shops and stuff, so...
You go to one charity shop, Sam, and you're forever known as the man...
Just because I've worn the jacket for 4 years and refused to have it dry cleaned.
I was talking about your mugs.
Yeah, the mugs.
We got the
Toby there. Mugs that weren't Toby mugs, the Gary mugs.
Right. Let me wrap this up.
Yeah, until next week.
Bye for now.